You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
You're a parent, and as your child's first teacher, you're responsible to instill the value of responsible living in your children. Yet for some parents, talking about the environment with their kids can feel like just another in the long list of parenting responsibilities. Many parents feel ill-equipped or even apathetic about it, and many other parents, for them, the sense of urgency to engage children in their future with the planet is overwhelming. I'm joined this morning by Dan Chiras. He's author of EcoBooks, Raising Children Who Care for the Earth. It's a resource that helps all parents through the job of raising socially conscious citizens. Dan Chiras is the father of two boys, the author of over 20 books on environmental issues and sustainability, and he joins me this morning from Colorado. Good morning and welcome to Vancouver Cooperative Radio, Dan.
Good morning and thanks. Thanks so much for having me. It's good to be here.
When parents look at the long list of things that they want to convey to their children, social justice, peace, for example, where does caring for the earth fit in?
Well, to me, you know, of course, it's up on the top of the list, because if we don't have a healthy planet, what else can we have? You know, and it's really the backdrop that supports all of us. It's, you know, the ecosystems are the life support system of the planet. So it's got to be up there in the very top as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, and all these other issues, I'm not meaning to indicate that they're of lower priority, but all of these are extremely important, but the environment is of extraordinary importance to us. And we're seeing that every day in the kinds of disasters that are occurring, the beating we're taking with global climate change, for example. And it's a very costly beating, both socially and economically.
Do you think that social justice is an integral part of the ecological system of which we're a part?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, the ecological system is really, to me, it's the infrastructure of our society. It's what makes everything possible in human society, all of the wealth, all of the resources, the food we eat, the water we drink, everything comes from the environment. And we have a social system that depends very heavily on that, an economic system that depends very heavily on that. And, you know, to me it seems like the bottom line here is, and it may sound corny, but it's all about coming from a place of love, you know. And Charles Dickens once wrote that a loving heart is the truest wisdom. And to me, that's a guiding principle for how we treat each other in a social context, and also how we treat the environment. If we come in our relationships to the earth and to other people, to other societies, if we come from a place of love and caring, we have a much better chance of making relationships or forging relationships that are going to last, that are sustainable in the long run, and healthy too. I mean, health is, you know, it's really important that we have healthy relationships at all levels.
On one side, your book is a resource for parents with their children. Is it also meant to inspire parents themselves?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because I think, as you mentioned earlier, many parents are ill-equipped to deal with issues, to explain issues, to explain environmental ethics, and to explain the importance of the environment. So the book really is meant to inspire parents and to educate parents, to provide some of the key information that they need to know and understand to be able to talk intelligently to their children about, you know, what the problems are, what the solutions are, new values that we need, you know, how we can swim against the mainstream of consumerism, all those critical elements of the environment, the environmental issues today.
What about the notion in parenting that the key thing is what you do, not what you say?
Well, that's part of it. I think really it's about walking your talk. So it's about talking and talking to our children and helping them understand and grasp and understand alternatives and philosophies. But it's also so important that parents walk the talk, too. I remember a friend of mine telling me a story about a friend of hers. He was driving along in the car, and his two children were in the back seat, and he was extolling the virtues of recycling and going on and on and on about how important it is for the environment and so on. And the boy pipes up in the back and says, "Dad, you know, if recycling's so good, why don't we do it?" So, I mean, it's really critical because kids catch on very quickly to hypocrisy. They catch on very quickly to this. I think one of the pervasive problems with environmental education in our country is that we tend to compartmentalize it. You know, the schools will have a week where they study ecology, the grade schools, the elementary schools will have a week where they study global ecology, and then it's all done. They have a recycling drive, and then it's all over, and it's back to business as usual. And so I think that and other messages that we give to our children, I think with those messages, that they tend to compartmentalize it. It becomes just this thing, you know, this body of information, but it's not integrated in their lives. And it really has to become a part of their lives, their daily activities. And so if a parent isn't walking his or her talk, kids get that real quickly, that you can talk about it, but who the heck cares?
Well, what are some of the most obvious things that parents can be doing that would make a difference in how their children will see themselves in the ecological system that we're part of?
Well, I think getting kids out in nature, for one, and that's really not so much addressing that question you asked, that's about getting kids to fall in love with nature, because you can't protect what you don't love. So getting kids out in nature is really, really important. And I think probably one of the most important things, which I discuss in my book, Eco Kids, is the importance of telling kids how natural systems really work. And it doesn't require an advanced degree in ecology to do that. It's really quite simple to explain how systems work, you know, how these natural systems work, how they support our lives, what we get from them. You know, a tree isn't just a source of wood, it's a source of oxygen that keeps us alive. So how they work in the grand scheme of things, how they support our lives, and how we affect nature. And then finally, what we can do to change that relationship, how we can live differently, how we can meet our needs in a way that doesn't really, you know, undermine the ecological systems that are so important to us. So to me, that's real key, and that's something that parents can do. And I explain that very carefully in the book Eco Kids, just to help parents get that key message. We don't have to take them out on nature walks and give them, you know, the scientific names of the birds, although that's kind of fun. We don't have to do that, the birds and the trees and the flowers. You know, it's more important that they understand the basics, how things work, how we affect nature, and how we can live differently. What are the sorts of things that we can do in our lives, like recycling and buying organic food and conserving energy, those sorts of things. How can we live well without undermining our own future?
Would you consider it very important that children have some direct experience of trying to grow things?
Oh, absolutely. I think kids really enjoy that. Grow their own food. Start a little garden in your backyard. Even if you don't have a backyard, grow some vegetables in a planter on your deck or on your front walkway, somewhere around your house. I think it's real important for kids to grow, to learn, you know, to learn where food comes from, to make their own food, and I think it'll go a long way. My boys are now in high school, and one's in college, and the younger one, who's going to be a senior next year, announced to me that, you know, when he grows up, he's going to have his garden, because he always enjoyed working in the garden with me, you know. So he's going to have his own garden and grow these fresh tomatoes that we grow that you simply can't get in the grocery store.
There's a lot of gloom and doom that pervades discussion of our current environmental system, climate change in particular. How can parents avoid that overwhelming children and in fact, making them feel apathetic and helpless in the face of what the challenges are?
Well, I think apathy is related directly to the amount of direct action that one takes. You know, it's really easy to get into the criticism and get into the problems, because, you know, let's face it, bottom line is we want them to understand how important this stuff is, that this is really life and death stuff. You know, these aren't, the environmental laws aren't really ordinary laws, they're laws of survival, and we're really, you know, this, our survival is on the line here. so as parents, we want them to understand that. And, you know, we the teachers feel the same way. And I talk to college professors who get freshmen who are in the environmental science class, and one of the things that they've learned is that these kids come convinced. They know there's a problem. So let's not overdo that as parents. Let's not overdo that. Help them understand that these are serious problems, but then let's demonstrate actions, what we can do individually, recycle, compost, drive an energy-efficient car, ride bicycles, take mass transit, insulate our homes, seal up our homes, install energy-efficient lighting, and get the kids involved in all this and explain how it's going to work and what it does and all the benefits. And then get your kids out to recycling centers, not just local drop-off centers where you leave your recyclables, but take them to the big recycling centers where they can see the mountains of plastic bottles and aluminum cans and glass bottles and newspaper and cardboard that are going back into that production cycle. Get them to organic farms. Take them on a trip to see one of those massive wind farms. So, you know, demonstrate in your own life and work with your kids in your own life to see what you can do and show the results. Watch your, you know, track your utility bills. Look at the amount of garbage that you no longer produce because of recycling and composting. And then get them out to see the bigger picture. And what I'm really saying is give them hope. Show the way, give them actions, you know, and participate in the change that we need to make, and then give them hope. Make sure they have hope, or otherwise we're doomed. We won't make it if everybody just feels that we're doomed, and, you know, we are doomed if we all feel we're doomed.
So your book is filled with anecdotes of children and things they've done. Could you share some of those hopeful or inspiring stories of individual children?
Well, sure. There are probably, I can't recall exactly, maybe 10 or 8 or 10 stories in the book. They're in little boxes that tell about students who have taken on big projects. There's a story of one girl who's invented a new form of asphalt that actually uses recycled plastic, and there are companies that are looking at manufacturing this. Another story of a fabulous young boy who's now actually grown up. I think he's almost college age now. His name is Chance Reuter out of San Antonio, Texas, who he and his brother have done wildlife films and have activated a lot of students, have got a lot of students interested in the environment. And, you know, just things like that, kids who have gotten involved in one young boy who gathered up old bicycles that people were getting rid of, and he fixed them up and donated them to I forget where it was now, but to kids who weren't so fortunate and who were basically in orphanages, and kids or foster children who were not yet in family situations, and he, you know, gave them bicycles for Christmas that they could ride. You know, it's those kind of stories that are real inspiring, and I'm hoping parents will read those to their children, and, you know, maybe kind of light a few fires amongst the kids who are listening.
Well, thank you for sharing those stories and on the book itself, and best of luck.
My pleasure.
I've been speaking with Dan Chiris. He's the author of Eco Kids, Raising Children Who Care for the Earth.